Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I am Daniel Prue, your host, and joining me as always are Darren and Philip. Guys, we're on episode 3 of Star Trek Picard, and there are three of us. Is that a coincidence?
And which one of us are real?
Which one of us is the... So
who's the destroyer?
The destroyer, and I felt really bad for the first one, because she just gets to be the dead one. Like, yeah. That was her descriptor. So I felt bad for
her. I couldn't tell who was the destroyer, because she's like, there's the one that lives and the one that dies, but then she said, are you the destroyer? But I still don't know if the one that lives is supposed to be the destroyer, or the one that died is supposed to
be
the destroyer.
Wait, did she say the one that lives? I thought she said, are you the one that dies?
There was a lot going on right
there.
I think
she's the boy who lives? Wait, no, that's Harry Potter.
That's something else. Philip, bad.
Maybe she's the key. Is that, or no, or is she?
It is kind of looking like that. Hey, look. Let's already get into it. Let's just get into it. We're talking about the end is the beginning. And
so let's talk about the end at the beginning. Is that what we should do?
We're doing this backwards. Yeah. No. So, but no, let's start at the beginning as we are wont to do. So there was a kind of a cliffovery ending, not very high stakes, of course.
Cliffhangery.
Cliffover. Yeah. I don't know what I was not very high stakes, but we get our full introduction to the character of Rafi, I think is her name, right? Rafi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
I love her. She's great.
And I will say, sorry, just as a reminder, so in the comics, and that, I'll stop saying this after this, because this is, you know, you're caught up now. There's nothing more to say.
Fine, we'll read the comics, Philip. You've convinced us.
But she was,
with your incessant badgering.
As you saw in the flashback, she's Commander, but she was his XO on board the Verity. Don't quote me on the name of the ship. But that was his admiral.
His
ship.
Yeah.
But she was his XO, which called him JL, in which he.
Which is adorable, beyond compare.
That's pretty much all. And she's a Romulan expert there. You know
everything. So here's the thing.
And she sees cover ups and conspiracies.
As Romulans.
So let's talk about the flashback scene. I like.
Because so far, like every episode has started with a flashback.
Yeah,
let's stop doing
it. Well, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know about. I mean, this is...
Which is fine,
This is a good way to fill that sort of void. And we get to see new Star Trek uniforms, guys. That's cool.
I do want those.
They look pretty snazzy.
They're very snazzy. I do like them. I mean, question. It doesn't fit the flow. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it doesn't fit the evolution from... Now, I'm of course, presupposing. Yeah.
The current one with the little notch on the chest is kind of like the safe evolution, and like the flashback ones are like the, boy, you had like the 70s were crazy, weren't they? You know, and then
because, I mean, obviously, well, I don't want to speak for y'all, but, you know, I don't know, I was going to say, till now, I have to think about it. But the First Contact /DS9 uniforms were my favorite, of all-time Star Trek uniforms. That's just... But how does that go from this? Now, I'm assuming there's not an in-between. That's an assumption. But I'm assuming there's not one in-between. Though, you know, we've seen the future episodes from Legacy Trek that showed us different ones. But we'll ignore it for a second. This is more of your Star Trek Online-inspired design, which I like. But it's not a natural jump.
It
from
does have a
gray
Star Trek Online
to back to Voyager, kind of, with a funky stylus. But anyway, but I like it. I like it. I mean, I would love to have that uniform.
That's what I wanted to know. What do you guys, now that we have these two distinct new uniforms, which one of those two is your favorite? Do you prefer this, I guess we'd, I don't know if a classic, I don't know, older, double ribbon style? I don't know what we're calling it.
Well, it's got the cutouts. Like, it's basically, it's like off the shoulder, like they used to have, but farther down, but then it's got the cutout panels on the sleeves and the shoulders. Because they still have the ranks on the collar, and I guess I almost feel like I haven't seen either of them enough. Like, we really haven't been around of normal, just a whole bridge full of Starfleet, you know, uniforms. It's been kind of one here, two here, flashback here, you know, where, so I don't know. It's, I don't, I like both. I mean, I like the little the notch, whatever we want to call the future ones, the current ones, I guess. You know, this the older the flashback ones, they have the standard Voyager, you know, DS9 comm badge before that was changed, but it's got a little more flair. You know, I do like the color though, because I mean I do enjoy the first contact ones, but I do feel that they had just kind of sucked all the color out. You know, there's just, you know, the color, the uniforms used to be so rich, and I kind of like this return to color.
Yeah, I mean, to me, sorry, this is tangential. Sorry, we talked uniforms here for an hour. But anyway, but the...
In the comics, we get it, Philip. We get it.
But in the first contact, DS9 uniforms seemed, at least color-wise, considering first contact was when it was introduced, of course, and then on DS9, because they had to, I guess. Well, they didn't have a choice, right? I mean, I suppose they could have said not to do it. But anyway, but those were both war settings, and they are a little bit more... And I don't know why. Maybe it's just I'm rationalizing that it's militaristic, only because it took place during military or to war storylines. But I think of it more as a militaristic uniform. Even though...
They do look the most uniformish.
Yeah. Whereas,
of all of
whereas,
them.
Whereas, as you say, Darren, the color, which goes back to TOS, of course, you know, a little brighter, literally. Like, you know, we're happier, we're optimistic. We're doing Star Trek science and moral messaging. We're not dark.
And the fact that, unless they made some flip, she's wearing gold. And so she's an XO that is not in the command division. Yeah. Which kind of makes sense if she's into, like, tactics and stuff.
Security.
Maybe. Yep. Yeah.
Again, I will say that this is one place that Star Trek has not yet learned its lesson, because we have a gold and a red shirt here. No blue shirt to be seen in this new uniform style as of yet.
Sorry, the Admiral couldn't be a blue shirt, Daniel. Sorry, that's the way it's got to be.
A blue shirt. There's no excuse for it. Nope.
And then he gets stabbed, Daniel. He gets stabbed.
Color of
it's bad memories. Color of failure. Oh, my gosh.
But let's okay, so we talked about...
Well, when Beverly shows up next week, it'll be... Oh,
boy.
Who knows? I hope.
We could see Maddox.
Well, I was just
going to
throw this out there.
We're going to see Maddox. He probably won't be wearing a uniform. But,
and obviously we don't know where this is going to go, and I'm not jumping ahead to this episode, but just as a random tangential. So obviously we know, at some point he's going to meet Riker and Troi, which, and this was my stereotype, and I had no reason to stereotype this, I thought was Earth. But why? Why should they be on Earth? There's no reason they should be on Earth. But now that he's left Earth, presumably, I was like, oh, because I thought this was going to be like, oh, he's going to see Riker and Troi. I have this harebrained idea. Oh, you go do your thing, Jean-Luc. Good luck. But apparently that's not it. So apparently we're not going to see them until later. And so I'm like, oh, what planet are they going to be on? Beta Z or something? I don't know. But anyway.
Oh, that'd be cool. Well, if you remember the first trailer when it showed Seven, she says, what are you doing out here, Jean-Luc? So maybe they're all on this planet with the weird name. And I'm going to forget it now. Watch.
Oh, Free Cloud?
Free Cloud. Thank you. Thank God you remembered, because I was not.
Which I, for some reason, I don't know, I had this sort of like 90s free sharing, free, you know what I'm talking about? The websites and the all of that, you know,
when she
in my
was
mind.
Looking, okay, this is jumping ahead a bit, but I just want to bring this up. When she was looking at her research into whatever she was looking at, and this big thing popped up and said Free Cloud. I'm like, is this a pop-up ad?
I just thought she had a gambling problem we didn't know about, because her whole life had been spiraling down. I thought, well, this too.
It's GeoCities of the 24th century.
I definitely
is what
didn't
it
think,
felt like,
oh, this is a destination that I want to go to.
Yeah.
I thought this was a SoundCloud ad. Well, I guess we'll find out. We haven't been there yet.
And there was dice. I mean, there was obviously gambling connotations.
Well, because I saw on the screen, because I usually don't, you know, try to read the screen that much. That's what you all hear.
And you usually watch it backwards because you're looking through it. So,
But I noticed it said Gorn Egg.
Oh,
did
yeah.
you see that in the code? Yep. And I was like, what is that?
Oh, yeah. I was like, it's like code words.
I think that's
like
Admiral's password. And she just hacked it.
Gorn Egg. Yeah, it felt like, you know, coded secret files or something. It's like, this project is codenamed Gorn Egg. Like, it has nothing to do with the actual project, but it's just secret.
Now, is
way.
This an anagram? Is that what you say when you rearrange the letters? Because famously, in my other show, Doctor Who, Torchwood was used as a code name for a secret
Doctor Who.
I mean, when they were trying to keep stuff secret about a Doctor Who finale. So in the script, they called it Torchwood. And then eventually they used that as their spinoff. But because Torchwood is an anagram of Doctor Who. And so it's like, maybe Gornag is an anagram or something.
Could be.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Could be. We are also like 8,000% past where we started. So let's bring it back to the...
Look, the future is the past. The beginning is the end, Daniel. So it's okay.
So yeah, let's talk about... I agree with you, Darren. I like the character of Rafi. There's a lot about her motivations and like the structure of Starfleet that I don't understand, especially concerning this flashback. What I wanted to talk about.
Well, before we get to that,
I negate your question.
No. I feel that what I got the most out of Rafi was like, you feel for her. I mean, she's gone through a hard time, and it kind of puts this mirror up to Picard. You know, because we all love Picard. We all, you know, favorite captain, whatever. You know, but for you too. But you know, she's putting some stuff up in front of him, and he's, you know, he hasn't made the best choices over this last 15 years. And for us as the audience, you know, to view that, you know, that's a little tough, you know, to be like, oh man, captain, my captain, you know, but you kind of left someone behind. You didn't go back for your crew. You didn't help them. And, but I do, not that I feel like, oh, Picard would never do that, but no, I felt like, okay, here's another part of Picard. Here's another part of what he's been going through. I mean, I love the line where he says, like, that was the last ditch Hail Mary pass, was me tendering my resignation, and they didn't go for it. So I love what she brings out of Picard. I love that they're not, I mean, not to jump ahead, but the fact that she's like, oh yeah, I'm totally just gonna leave at this place. I'm like, sure you are. You're totally not gonna go on this entire adventure. Okay. But no, it's very interesting character.
Well,
but
the one thing I thought, and I hesitate to go down this lane too much because this is going to be, oh, you're nitpicking geekery, but obviously that's what we do. But I appreciate a lot of what Picard is doing, because I thought this was a great episode, by the way, because I thought, you know, the second episode was kind of like we said, an in-between. This third one's going to be good. But for this last episode, I really liked it. But I thought her character as sort of like the homeless vet, you know, that's what we're going for.
With the really nice trailer next to Vaquez Rocks.
You know, living on a trailer with maybe a drug problem. And I'm not trying to make fun of this, but this is sort of like this modern, you know, for us, a modern character, you know, this.
She vapes. She's cool. She's with it, kids.
She grows her own vapory.
Yeah.
That's, you know, but if people weren't watching before, I mean, isn't that the demographic now?
But my problem is, and Daniel, I don't know if this is where you jump in. My problem is, it's as if she's acting homeless in the 25th century where there is no
and
money.
And she got fired.
No, okay, yes.
That was really weird to me because she's like, you resigned and I got fired. I'm like,
That's not how it works.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, that's the thing. Like, Darren, I get what you're saying and I know where the writers are going. They're saying, oh, she specifically says it. She kept saying, chateau. You live in your chateau, and I live in a
right.
I live in a trailer
with your
park.
With your wood beams and your library and your ebony and your
and your HGTV.
And she blames this all on him. And it's like, first of all, lady, like, you would get reassigned. You don't lose your job because he quits his job. That's not how this works.
I feel like there's something else though that happened. Like maybe she was going into files she shouldn't have, and that's how, like, that was part of the proposal, like things he knew that he shouldn't have known or something. Because she said she got her security clearance revoked. Like something happened.
Well, it might have been all the vaping and drinking.
Well, because if you're an admiral and you get, you know, you retire, your whole command staff doesn't get like purged. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
Also, what, she lost her Starfleet paycheck? I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that?
Feel,
I don't know.
So what the drama they're setting up kind of works in a character way, but it doesn't make sense because it's not earned in any way, and it doesn't fit the narrative of what we understand of how the structure.
Well, we'll probably find out more about
that
in another flashback,
Discovery,
but
and we never learned more.
No, but we're getting a lot of. But no, I'm just saying, like I could totally see us having another flashback where we're in the room when she's getting dismissed. and we get, and maybe
puts down one,
and who knows what we get, but yeah, takes the boots off one at a time. Well, but she, you know, you're talking about the paycheck, but she was more upset about losing her security clearance because that's her life. That's her, like, getting to dive into the, you know, the dark inner web or whatever they call it in, you know, the 24th century. You know, that was her.
I don't want to nitpick this to death because I enjoy it. I enjoy the character. I only nitpick when there's nothing behind it. There's got to be, you know, with her resume, Romulan expert. I mean, like I said, it's in the comic, but you can tell it.
Well, that's the skills thing. That's where there's got to be something else.
You know, yeah.
Because she basically got blacklisted is what it feels like. Like, you lost your clearance. You can't work. You can't set foot on a Federation ship again. Like, something happened.
See, I mean, the obvious connection is that the conspiracy that she's alluding to also included her.
Yeah.
But then she couldn't blame Picard for that under her conscience because she knows he's not responsible for it. And that's unfair.
I think she only blames him for not touching base with her over 15 years.
Well, she does, yeah, but she also blames him for the initial act as well, even though he was, like,
yeah, but that doesn't
he
make
was
sense,
acting in good
that...
conscience, like, doing everything that he could at that point, so.
And I wonder this, does he check on anyone else? So, in other words, has he talked to Riker in 15 years? Has he talked to Worf in 15 years? Or has he literally been, what do they call him, the Hermit of the...
The Hermit of Labar.
Or has he literally just not talked to anyone?
Which is an awesome name, but yeah.
Has it just been
not a good
him
thing,
and the Romulan, you know, folks for, you know, 12 years?
Is number one 15 years old? Was he a rebound dog?
His name's number one, but he's actually number 1-5. It's actually been through a few. It's like the Simpsons and the Snowball Cat, like Snowball 5, you know.
So we talked about the flashback and a little bit. Anything else that we want to talk about her trailer at Vesca's, literally Vesca's Rock? It's not just standard.
Is that meta? I mean, say, like, she lives in the place where we film Star Trek is kind of like, I appreciate the fan service. Is it too much, though?
I think it's
like, it
I
looks
it's,
a lot like the Gorn planet. I'm just saying, Cestus 3. You know,
it's not only meta, it's also like above meta. It's like, it's ultra meta because of the fact that. Like you say, Star Trek has filmed there, and it's amazing to me that they're just like, and you're like, oh, well, they are right here. We'll just film here. Whatever.
That's
they put
funny.
That futuristic space, trailer in the Vasquez Rock. They called it. Okay. So,
I mean, they even called it Vasquez Rocks. It had like a title card. Like, it's like, not like, oh, you don't know. This is the future. Nope. It's just Vasquez Rocks over there.
So we talked and this is related. We talked about, there's a lot of vices going on here in this episode of Star Trek, and I know
there's cigar smoking,
there's
vaping.
Mad Men, everyone smokes in this episode. I mean,
so I wanted to see how you guys thought about that, especially about, because at first you don't really know. You think she's
sunglasses and cigarettes. That's all this was.
Yeah, you think Rafi is kind of just maybe being like a horticulturist or something, but no, she's literally growing her own vape. Space vape plants.
Space
buds. So space buds. Yeah. Did that bother you? You guys were okay with that because she's down and out, or what?
Again, I don't know, because like I know what the folks will say.
It didn't really bother me because it was it. Yeah, I wasn't surprised. It felt very like a show made in 2020. I'm not surprised at all because that's the thing. But I didn't feel like
it's a backhanded,
you know. Well, it's, you know, I first, you know. Anyway, I'm just saying. I wasn't surprised, but I don't feel like it's overdone, at least so far. It's not like the vape pen is Spock's shuttle. And we got to follow it to, you know, the next thing.
Again, Darren, you know my struggle because of the Earth we've shown has been this paradise, and look, things change and. And I don't know, because again, we haven't seen that much of 24th century Earth. We've seen a little bit. I mean, I guess I'm trying to think of an example of like, so great. What was it called? Sandrines? I think they were smoking. I mean, I know that was a holodeck program, but presumably it was a reflection of the real thing. You know, they were smoking in that one, I think, right? But it's France. You know, that does that. But anyway, so, but I, you know, So I'm not trying to be anti. Well, I don't know. I go back and forth. That's my answer. But I don't let it bother me. And I'm moving on. My only problem is her being like the homeless vet on drugs. I'm like, ugh. In 25th century Earth? Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he even talked about money a lot this episode because the doctor like was like, I'm triple heir to the whatever. And I'm like, okay. Like,
we'll get there. That's jumping way ahead. Calm down, yeah. Nerd.
The beginning is the end, Daniel. That's where we're going.
Let's talk about the next stuff since we've covered Rafi a bit here. Let's talk about, we're switching gears back to the Borg cube. And guys, we have a familiar face. We get Hugh. We finally get to see
Yay,
Hugh.
Yay, Hugh. I'll bet he was great.
Yeah, he was great. I don't know what he was or like what he does. Or I mean,
he's like a director. He's like one of the head people. Yeah, he's like one of the head people on the project.
So I get the sense that he's not from this cube specifically.
No.
So they made it sound like this was the last cube to attack. And it was the only cube to assimilate Romulans.
Right.
And once it did, it kind of like had a fit and shut down or something.
Right, we don't know.
Something happened.
Though also, it seemed weird to say that this is the only cube ever that's assimilated to Romulan.
Yeah, that does feel really weird to me. I agree.
It's like have skirted that part.
Well, but all the other ones we've seen have always attacked Federation space, and Romulans aren't members of the Federation.
I mean, there's been Klingons that's gotten assimilated,
Cardassians. There's been, I mean, you would think
like,
there'd be an undercover
Voyager
Romulan
with what do you call it? Whatever one, you know, the little fantasy world they live in. Unimatrix Zero.
Oh, Unimatrix Zero.
Sorry, yeah.
You don't think any, Darren? This is a species that literally uses black hole technology to travel through space. You don't think there's ever been any sort of weird accident that they traveled to the Delta Quadrant and have ever been assimilated by the Rob? It feels totally insincere to me.
Of course, there could be lying. It's like the Romulans just lie.
It could be. They could.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I'm fine taking it at face value because we haven't had anything to contradict that. And obviously, like, the Bosch
Narada.
And the way that they like treat AI, like I definitely, they're going somewhere with that. And obviously there's a reason that something happened. So I'm just waiting for them to tell
us. Because the Romulans created the Borg, Darren. You can mark this time code down right now. That's exactly where they're going with
wow.
this nonsense. And it's going to really make
sense.
So
you think they somehow created the Borg in the past or
and
something?
Somehow and they have to tie it to V'ger and then all our answers.
And that's why they hate AI so much because they're resentful.
Frankenstein.
I mean, they could do that.
I don't want them to do that. Please don't do that.
You brought it up.
I just
Daniel.
Want you to know this is where it's going. I just know. I just know.
I have to say one thing, and again, I feel like this is sort of a backhand to Voyager, which it's not because I love it, but I do feel like they've made the Borg cube scary again. Like, I don't know about you guys, but like,
well,
zooming
the
into
fact that
it,
it's like,
I'm like, I'm a little scared to be in here right now, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if this thing's dead.
And the fact that they all wear those, you know, basically kind of like dosimeter tags, mm-hmm. kind of. But it's like, if this turns on, run. And it's like, okay. Because it's basically like, that means that part of the cube is reactivated. And it's like, okay. I don't know if I can. Can we build a station next to the Borg cube that we work on? Does it have to be in the Borg cube, that
adjacent.
We work on?
Because like, I think one thing about First Contact that I didn't like, which I think is, you know, sacrilege, of course. But. the scale of the opening of First Contact, it always threw me off. You know, when you're zooming away from Picard, there's just this big hole and these big, huge space in the middle of the cube, or, you know, and all
right.
the weird shit, you know, and it's always like,
it's like, why is there a plaza here in the middle of the
yeah.
cube? Like, there's no reason for that.
But so it was always weird and threw me off, but I went with it. And then Voyager obviously was, you know, because it's a TV show, not a movie. In the 90s, it was a little more tight sets with the Borg. I mean, they did some stuff, but to me, it never got the scariness that I felt just here when we're zooming back to the Borg cube, and you're like, oh god, this is...
Well, and it makes you, at least it makes me think, like, okay, why is this component here? Like, how is it designed? How is it constructed? Like, what is it powering or monitoring or scanning? Or, like, it's just... And because of their whole decentralized philosophy, it's so bizarre. It's so alien.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool. I love Borg cubes. I think they're great.
Which is
I
great.
Love spending time on them.
Yeah.
I think it's fun.
I wonder, I mean, the answer is yes, but I'll say it anyway. I wonder if we get the Hugh backstory. Because, of course, last time we saw him, he was a free, I'm hand quoting, free Borg after Descent and Lore's to him and his boring guys. And I do like his look, because I've seen pictures.
Yeah, the look is really
cool.
But
I've tried to ignore them, because I'm like, I just want to see it when he's on the show. And so, like, where he's, you know, his eyes are a little off-center, you know, and everything.
Yeah, and, like, one's got, like a kind of robotic kind of contact in it, you know, kind of like Geordi. And he's got that kind of, like, tunic vest that's got the kind of pattern, the same kind of Borgish pattern on it, which it's like, is that actually part of something, or is it just his look, you know, which, you know, could work.
And it reminded me of Data in First Contact when he's getting his skin grafted, because it does have that skin graft, you know,
that's
section
true.
There.
Well, and what do you guys think? Is it Romulan technology or Borg technology? Those little, like, floaty library cubes that move from wall to wall?
Oh, that was cool. I thought that was really
I mean, that was really cool, but I'm wondering what whose tech
I assume it's
is.
Borg.
Okay. Borgulan.
No one would stack books this way.
So, one of the coolest things about this scene when he's talking with Daj's sister, because I can't remember her name.
Soji.
Basically, he gives her permission to have an interview with this ex-Borg Romulan who happens to be the universe's foremost expert on all Romulan mythology, whatever. Of course, we know where that's going. By the way, it's because the Romulans created the Borg.
We don't say mythology, Daniel.
Yeah, that's right.
We say news.
That was an interesting twist. Anyways, but I want to talk about that first scene, and actually really every scene with Hugh, because I couldn't really pin his, like, allegiances, his loyalty,
like his motivation,
because he works for the Romulans,
right? But he has no problem. Like,
I feel like he's the foremost expert on Borg. Yeah. Like, really, like, who better to run this project?
Well,
than
I can think of one person.
Ex-Borg. Well, she's doing something else, and we haven't caught up with her yet. Okay.
Well, I mean, is she? Would she be any better than him? Technically, maybe not. I don't know.
They both had different paths after they were severed from the collective.
Right.
I'd say he seems to be doing a bang-up job, so.
Yeah, we'll see. I guess we'll see. But anyways, it's great to see him, right? This is cool. This is exactly the sort of stuff I was hoping to see.
I don't have that memorized, you know, chaotic neutral or whatever. I don't know where to put Q on that, because he can't be, because we don't know enough. You know, we liked him on the Enterprise and in Descent. You know, well, I mean, he struggled, obviously, with his identity, but that was some time ago at this point. So, but I do wonder, where do you put him on the board right now? So, you know.
Well, and it was interesting because he appreciated how Soji, like, spoke to the unknown in his own language. But I don't get the feeling that he's romanticizing the Borg. Like, you know, like, he knows what they are. He knows what they've done. It's, you know, because he was one, I don't get the feeling that he's trying to, you know, I don't know, be like, it's not our fault, it's not their fault. Like, no, he's just like, this is our job, this is what we're doing. We can do it with dignity, but we're still, you know, what do they call them?
Nameless?
Something. Yeah, the nameless, you know, but, and it's just interesting. It's very, you know, we're slowly unraveling this stuff. You had the whole triangle card, you know, triangle tarot deck or something.
Yeah, she totally should have moved the jack to where the queen was, but whatever.
And that was like, what's going on? I need to rewatch that scene, because there's a lot that happens in that scene.
There are little moments in all the Borg stuff where the threat of the Borg is still, I think, fresh in these people's minds. We don't know the state of the Borg as a whole, but we are too, I assume, is the Borg is still a threat. The Borg, like, if there was a reconnection somehow,
right?
Everything would hit the.
They did mention that, yeah. It's like, they're pretty sure it won't get reconnected, but I don't feel like the Borg and themselves have been wiped out.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, because that was the second or the previous episode where they said, you know, don't worry. Yeah, like.
Which I'm guess assuming means that the damage done in Endgame did not completely kill the Borg.
You can never completely kill the
Borg. So.
What doesn't kill them makes it.
Well, let's just stick with this thread. We don't have to go specifically chronologically.
Well, one last thing. I'm still surprised that, and they kind of revealed a little bit in this episode with, like, something happening after the Romulans got assimilated, because that was my big question was, well, every Borg cube that we've ever had come into the Alpha Quadrant has been destroyed. So I'm like, where did this giant, mostly intact cube come from? Because it's not like, literally, when you have a Borg cube, it's either kill or be killed. Like, there's no, you know, peacefully power down and surrender your weapons with the
unless
Borg.
They're tired. And then I think you're okay.
Oh, unless they're sleepy. That's true. And then they blow up. So.
Yeah, that's what happens when I have too much sleep.
Sleep, Philip, sleep.
But I thought it was interesting that it seems to be, again, we don't have that much information, only on episode 3, but the rescued, for lack of a better word, Romulans, at least, aren't fully coming out of assimilation. Now, there's a lot of things going. So, like, are there...
There's something different about them.
Now, was there other species that were rescued? Because, obviously, they're not all Romulan. But, as I believe, that room was just Romulans. I'm fairly 100% sure that was true.
Yeah, that room was just Romulans.
Just the Romulans were having trouble coming out? Or... Because I know Soji is working on everyone.
And they'd only been assimilated, like...
Briefly.
They were the leastest. Yeah. They were the most recent before it was... Something happened.
But it kind of reminded me of the genetically modified people in DS9, where, you know, they were having issues.
Oh, I was thinking the same thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, didn't they say Soji knew that head Romulan lady was the last one to
be
assimilated?
That's what she said. And she doesn't know why she knows that.
Yeah, she doesn't know why she knows that. She must have read it somewhere. Right, Daughter of Soon.
Wasn't the part where you took off the end of your finger and put it into a data port and suddenly you knew everything? Yeah.
But, yeah, it's... My theory is kind of along the lines of I think they had some sort of similar to like the Hue virus in her. So once she connected, basically she sacrificed herself, and it took out that Borg cube to, because obviously this happened before the supernova. I'm assuming.
I don't know that we know enough information to assume.
I was wondering why there was a ship full of Romulans. Were they fleeing? Were they going?
Yeah, well, because they said someone did the math on that number of days since assimilation, and it was like 16 years-ish.
And I was wondering, and again, they'll tell.
Which would put it right before, but.
Well, I was wondering, does this all tie together? Because assume this for a moment, that this happens around the same time of Mars Attacks, not the movie. that the what is it called? The Vash, whatever, the Tsar Vash.
The Vash, whatever. Yeah. It's called the Vash.
It's two words. But anyway, what if they did, like you were saying, put in a virus to destroy this Borg cube, as well as because the Borg are just another form of AI. I mean they're not, but go with me.
They kind of
are connected.
They took over the AI on Mars. You know, in other words, if they're so paranoid about, you know, synthetics, they, you know, Borg, artificial, everyone, there's just this, like, I mean, and I hate to use this term, so I apologize, but this 9/11 of synthetic attacks on this sort of one day.
Well, I mean, they'll have to draw some more parallels around the timeline of that Borg getting turned off and where that is in connection with the Mars attack, but hey, every time I love it. That's good. But yeah, there's definitely more to be unveiled. And it was like, oh my gosh, it was so intense. It's like, are you the destroyer? Everyone starts wigging out in that room. It's basically like a psych ward.
Yes.
Is what it felt like.
So this lady is, we presume, or I presume anyways, going to be important going forward. Of course, she knows the answer, but of course, we're not going to know the answer until 7 more episodes because
seven?
She's sick. Oh, could be. I don't know. So, yeah, anything else that we want to talk about regarding Hugh and Dasha's sister? And
well, I think
Soji. Soji. It's not
the only thing that.
It's like one of the main characters, Dan.
The only thing I had a little trouble with, and whatever, like I said, this is just Netflix. I like this stuff. Was with Soji. Narratively speaking, and this may just be a bad editing, you know, not, there may have been more written, but like it seems like, you know, she has this experience and then she goes to her room or whatever and then meets sexy guy, and then he's like, I'm falling in love with you, and I'm like, it's been
an
episode and a half before, like, really that fast?
But before that remember she called mom and shuts down.
Yes. Which is weird.
So, I mean, which I got the vibe of, like some I think Mom is. I don't think Mom is real.
No, she's definitely not.
Real. I think Mom is a construct. Is Maddox or some sort of construct that's connecting to her, and she basically got an update patch in that moment. Like, no, seriously. Like, I feel like when she connected to Mom, I mean, it basically was like activate Directive 4, and she went into like receive mode.
Yeah,
and shut down.
I think
down.
She said a code word, a safe word, or something like that. Which
yeah,
but it wasn't super clear.
Control Alt Delete. Ah,
it wasn't super clear because of the way that the episode was constructed. Because
yeah,
she got the sense. I guess she got the sense from Crazy Romulan Lady that her sister was dead, because she says, "Are you the one who dies, or are you the destroyer?" And so that's why she contacts her mom, says, how right. is Soji's sister doing?
Oh, now you don't know her name?
how is Dodge doing? And her mom says, she's just fine. She wants to get a puppy. And then...
Puppy, brr, puppy, brr, puppy, puppy.
And then she blue screens. And then she comes up.
Blue screen.
And it's unclear whether she's aware that her sister is dead or that she thinks her sister's still alive.
Well, wait. I'm trying to remember then. So when did she worry about the fact that her sister might
after
have
the crazy Romulan lady? Put the,
yeah, she.
So she saw the Romulan lady twice.
No.
No, it was that whole. I mean, I don't remember if it was two scenes, but it was.
Well, because the very end of that, because the end of the episode is the lady freaking out, and I didn't get the impression that after that was when she did the call.
No, it ends with him saying engage and.
Oh yeah, I know, that's true. Okay. I was feeling that I had thought that the Borg cube timeline scene ended on her wigging out. If you're the destroyer,
no.
But you're right. There were more after. There was more after that.
Because it also seemed weird. And again, I know this. I think it was meant as a figure of speech, but when she was talking to what's his name, Sexy Rhyme. She was like 5 minutes ago. I didn't know. I'm like, it was longer than 5 minutes ago. The scene was. It was like 3 hours, or you know. I'm like, so that threw me off. I'm like, oh, because like it just seemed like there was a consolidated time. Like I needed like another like day before she talked to him, and then he's, you know, I don't know.
No, well, I got the impression that she had shut down for 3 hours, so she felt it was like 5 minutes, but it had been several hours.
She
minutes become days. Spot.
Yeah, she was snuggling her
if plushie. We did it by the book. If we fix this more cube by the book, then...
Of course, Admiral.
So while we're on the subject, let's talk about sexy Romulan man.
Let's talk about sexy Romulan.
Let's try to look up his name.
I think
guy.
We've said it. It's it doesn't matter. With
sexy
her ears.
Romulan hair and his sister, because this is well, this scene's problematic. We'll put it that way. My girlfriend asked me, why is
Narek. Narek.
Narek. Narek.
I'm not gonna remember that. No way. And
sexy.
So my girlfriend asked me, why is there so much sexual tension if they're siblings? And I said, I don't know. I guess I don't know. This is what we're doing.
I think that the
well, they're twins. I get the impression that they're twins. Like I don't
doesn't
know.
Doesn't explain
just
it, Darren.
Thing that
just saying twins.
No. But I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I feel that TV does that. Like I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
why.
So are the synthetics, and then you know the system. Anyway. Well, I think it's not. I think. I mean, he's fine as a character. You know, he is. The woman whose name obviously I don't know. The twin. Yeah, go look it up there. I don't do names. We don't do names on this one. But she's supposed to be, she's such a trope. Sexy, mysterious, evil. She's that kind of trope female villain who are always made sexy for whatever reason. And mysterious and secretive and sensual, you know, and that's what's her. I don't think it's him as much as her.
No, he told her a secret that was way too close to any secrets I've ever told my sister, I tell you what.
Well, he does whisper a lot in ears, which I thought was a very Romulan thing, but, like, when he, you know, if you're going to do it once, it's fine, but when you do it twice, I think that's the problem. So, like, he whispers in Soji's ear, you know, whatever, and then whispers in his sister's ear, I'm like, okay, let's stop with the whisper.
Yeah, when you whisper secret somethings into your... You know, your lover's ear.
It's Rizzo. It's, well, that's her human
Rizzo
name.
Rizzo is also the name
Rizzo.
Of the rat from the Muppets. Is that Is that
not... So it's true. It's
every time
true.
I hear Rizzo, I'm thinking Rizzo. Like it's the rats from
Woman from Greece.
Yep, that is anyway. Rizzo the rat. Yeah.
Anyways,
that's what they're doing, walking around the cube.
I think that's enough. I think that's enough.
When you're a Vash all the way.
Having watched, I mean, any TV show, but having recently watched Witcher, which I don't know if y'all watch, but anyway, it has three separate storylines that takes, like, I don't know, five episodes before they start coalescing. And so with this one, you know, we have now two storylines. You know, we have the Picard storyline and we have the Borg storyline.
The cube.
Yeah, and so it'd be interesting how far they go along, which they're fine right now. You know, they don't have to consolidate right there. I'm with them. You know.
Well, she's gonna... Well, she's... That's where he's eventually heading.
Yeah, but like, I think they can play with it. You know, it's I like what they're doing. You know, as long as it's like 3/4 Picard and 1/4 Borg. You know, 3/4 Borg. I'm like, okay, it's called Star Trek Picard. But
well,
it's keeping it interesting without having, you know, that.
Well, and can we talk about? Oh gosh, I need to learn all these names. Dr. Girardi,
Agnes.
That's the. Yeah,
oh,
Agnes.
We're getting there.
Who...
That's
okay,
we're leaving the Borg.
We're leaving the Borg. Yes. Let's leave the Borg, and we'll start talking about Picard's storyline specifically now.
Okay.
After talking with, now I forgot her name.
Rizzo.
No, Rashi.
Oh, Rozzi.
Yeah. Rozzi. Yeah. Is that?
No. It's not.
This is so bad.
It's too many new names. I just need a grid. Yeah.
Anyways, after talking to his ex, his previous XO,
his
XO,
he tells her that I need a ship and a pilot, and a star to steer her by, and she agrees.
Jeez.
And then, of course, we cut to a
Raffi,
thank you. A scene Raffi. With Allison.
Ralphie, it's she plays the guitar and sings to children.
For kids, yes.
For kid.
We cut to the scene with Allison Pill's character, who's Dr. Cyberneticist.
Yeah,
Agnes is easy to remember, and the creepiest
is it?
Romulan sunglasses wearing lady of all time.
Oh,
she gets
Commander O.
Commander
that
O.
Was my, that was my comment on
Commodore
the
Commodore O.
Yep.
Oh,
she gets she wears Ray-Bans and space Ray-Bans, and is very creepy and intimidating. So
I mean, I like we don't have to rehash what the internet's doing about Vulcan Islands or whatever. Because to me, I would have never thought of that. I just think we've never seen
something.
Oh,
that's a good point.
Yeah, it's on the internet.
That's a good point.
But anyway, like, have we? It's just such a modern thing, and not that.
Yeah.
Here, guys, and I know this.
You don't tint your eyeballs. I mean, that's what we do in the 24th century. We don't
because you don't see people wearing glasses. You know, and it's just one of those things. Like,
what? Kirk wears glasses,
but they're
well. That was kind of like an antique gift, kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's because he was allergic to the medicine.
The eye drops.
Yeah.
Radnex 5 or something.
But anyway, I guess if they had just changed him to something, but I don't know. I guess it's one of those things with design methods because, like, you don't want to look like Back to the Future Part 2 sunglasses or look like Geordi's visor but tinted. It'll look, you know, stupid. But I don't know. I guess it just don't make it look so modern looking or just don't do it at all. Either one.
Yeah, so that quick scene sets up something for later, but we do get Picard getting introduced to what will be the captain of the ship, which is, by the way, the La Serena. And
La
I know
Serena.
I don't speak Spanish, but I looked this up. It is the siren in Spanish. So there you go.
Ooh.
So we meet Captain. Oh God, Darren, I
Rios?
Hope you have your name. What is it?
Rios.
Yes. Rios. That's exactly right. Well, at first we think we meet Captain Rios.
Yes, but it's EMH Rios,
which is fun.
which is great because you pay one actor and you get two. Yeah. I mean, that's great.
The couple funny parts. One, he is an EMH, but he's technically more than that. He does everything.
Yeah,
because he's also doing. Like,
he can do. He's basically the computer.
He's the crew
of the ship. Yeah.
Yeah. And so at first I couldn't tell. I thought he had a different accent than the actor. And
yes.
I'm like, is he just doing that because he's the EMH? And that, like, and then I thought the third time we see him, I'm like, does he have a different accent? And then he's like,
I think he has like a different personality depending on what
maybe.
He's doing.
That's
no,
kind of
because
funny.
The problem
like,
was
when he's the doctor, when he's the crew, when he's the
no. But except the and I was agreeing with you. Except the problem was the person changes accents in that scene. When he's talking, when he's getting counseled, he starts off in American and then goes like Irish.
Yeah. Okay.
But like, it's the person, not because obviously the holograms have an, and I'm sorry, my wife would do better about this, a UK accent of some sort. But then the person who's been American the whole time, which reminds me, I don't watch the show, but I was just watching clips of Avenue 5 where, what's the actor, a comedian, anyway, House, whatever his real name is, blanking for a second.
Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie, right, who's obviously known in Britain as a comedian, but in America more dramatic, but he plays an American, uses an American accent for that HBO show, and then, I don't know, spoiler, I guess, he's actually English, and so when he gets mad, he just starts speaking, they're like, why are you going like, oh, and he's like, no, I'm English, and he's like, American accent calms people for some reason, but I just think it's funny, because I'm now watching this, just like, he just has an American and apparently just goes crazy, you know, UK accent. So.
That's funny. I love, by the way, the fact that this guy has an EMH on his ship. That's great. And the EMH is kind of snarky.
Saucy.
Yeah, he's kind of, I mean, in a lot of ways, he probably has a lot of similarities with...
Are all holograms saucy?
Well, but he was probably, yeah, like you said, he's probably based off of the captain, like his, at least his base level... personality subroutine.
So you got to think, though. I mean, if you think about this, if you owned a ship, you wouldn't want the hologram to be based off of you. That would be annoying to deal with. That would, like, you would just, like, get irritated, I think.
Mine would be, like, the most awesome and funny and most efficient. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's just, it does seem a little strange. I guess maybe he has some vanity issues. I don't know.
But again, though, it's basically a physical representation of the ship. Like, he talks to it and says, hey, I need you to get this ready, you know, or prepare to take off or prepare to do this. Like, it's basically the computer. It's just a more, instead of a talking voice in the speaker, it's a hologram, which cool.
Imagine if your Alexis looked exactly like you. It would be a little bit different. You would interact with it differently than you would in any other form.
Maybe that's why he hates
it. We have limited information, but it seems that people who create artificial constructs repeatedly make it after themselves.
That's fair. So
we have
he created
Dr. Soon. Okay. We have Herman Zimmerman.
That's true.
I mean, it's just, you know. All
right, that's fair.
But one thing I really appreciated, I really, really, really appreciated, is that seeing this Captain Rios character, I thought, all right, we're going to go Star Wars territory. This is going to be, you know, Han Solo. I do my own thing. I'm a rebel. I don't believe in your Federation. I just work for money. You know, I shoot first, ask questions later. But to find out, as Picard susses him out, you're still Starfleet.
Right. It's like everything, like, you look at the ship, it's immaculate. Everything is stowed properly. And I'm like, dude, he's like, do you want him to work for you? Because you're kind of like calling out him out on the table. I don't know how to do that.
I love the Picard sizing him up like instantly. That scene to me, especially in this episode, felt like the most classic Picard that we got. Like, he's commanded a lot of people. He was very, very good at it. He can definitely size people up that quickly. And he's like, I've got you pegged. I know exactly who you are.
And then give a speech to get you to come along with me.
I loved that. I thought that was...
Because remember, Picard tests people. People forget that. Picard tests people.
Yeah, I agree with you, Philip. I was a little nervous he was going to be that Han Solo-type character. Although I will say, on the other side of that, I think they kind of already gave away his thing and a little heavy-handed with, like, his old dead commander. By the way, who is his old dead commander?
Oh, yeah. Still having nightmares about
it. We know his old dead commander. There's no doubt we do.
Who's that?
Oh, we do.
I have no idea. I'm just saying. They don't tease that without us finding.
Oh, I see. They're going. That's the gun you see that you know has to go off before the end of the.
It's got to be Commander McDuff. It's got to be right.
No, that's quite right. Did they say the name of his
and
ship?
And I like how the
I forgot. Serena.
No. The name of his former ship.
Oh, his first ship. That's a good question.
I believe they did,
I didn't catch it.
It was
because he was XO. But it's also blank.
Yeah, I also though like the fact that like when the EMH is talking about Picard and he's like
fanboying,
he's listing off like a ton of stuff from Next Gen.
What?
that was a cool
but
scene.
But I do like, because there, it's a somewhat complex, you know, there's a little Han Solo, you know, the thing sticking out of me, I don't care about it because I'm tough. But there's also,
it's the Ibn Majid says you were the XO of a heavy cruiser, the
sort of an Arabic name.
Ibn Majid. You never heard of it because it doesn't exist. Starfleet erased it from the records. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, it's the guy from Pegasus. What's his name?
Admiral Preston.
Preston, that's who it is. Pressman. Pressman, right?
Oh, Pressman? Yeah.
So it does, yeah. Why would, you know? So anyway, I don't know. Gosh, why is Starfleet so bad? Anyway, but yeah. But he's reading a book. So he's, he's a physical book. we're very physical book in this series. I get it because it's Picard, but. You know, he could have been reading a pad. It doesn't matter. But you know, he's thinking. He's an intellectual. So I do like he's not just rough and tumble with the beard and the drinking.
So I have the quote here from the, they're calling it, on Memory Alpha, the emergency navigational hologram, which maybe it just changes hats or pips. It's like, so are we excited, intimidated, maybe a teensy bit starstruck? Jean-Luc Picard, chief contact with the Q Continuum, arbiter of succession for the Klingon Empire, savior of Earth from Borg invasions, captain of the Enterprise D and E. The man even worked alongside the great Spock. It's like, you're not wrong. You know,
those are great, all great callbacks. Those are really good callbacks.
Now, I guess we're going to have to talk about this line, Daniel. I know it concerns you. He wants to get paid.
Yeah, there's a lot of money talk in this episode.
Well, I'm glad that the other lady is like independently wealthy, apparently, because she brings that up. Like, that's why she wants to, she's basically trying to buy her way on the ship, which she doesn't really need to.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They have to, I don't know.
The economics of the 25th century are a little different than you remember.
My eyes apparently glaze over. Yeah. They're not paying attention to these kinds of details. I don't know. It upsets me, but I don't let it upset me too much where I'm just okay, whatever. Just background noise at this point.
I'll want Darren's opinion here, but I'll ask you first, Daniel. So theoretically, this is our ship,
right?
What do you think of those nacelles?
Not a pretty ship. It's a very small ship, to be fair. I mean, it's which is fine.
Defiant size?
We've probably about twice the size of the Defiant, but only 1/1,000,000th as powerful. So, you know. No big deal, but
what do you think of the ship, Darren?
It made me think of a Star Wars ship. In Solo, a Star Wars story, there's this ship called an AT hauler that they steal, and it's basically built for like picking up a walker or something and dropping it off into battle. It looked a lot like that, kind of cockpit in the middle with the two kind of fins going forward. I'm glad it wasn't just like a saucer stuck on something, because that's kind of like the easy way out. But, you know, it's obviously not a Federation ship. It's not, or at least a Starfleet ship. But, you know, and it's got like a nice jazzy paint job on it. You know, it's nice. You know, I think, you know, it's obviously got a lot of facilities, but it's basically like that big room.
That transporter room
in the front
is like so big. It's got to take up.
No, I think that's literally like
it.
And then I think in front of that is the
bridge. That
is
room.
The bridge. Yeah, it's.
Because he doesn't see the captain when he gets beamed on. He has to go.
That's a good
they
point.
Go through like this like weird little room.
But I thought he was in front of those like six red dots, and that's also in the background of the bridge. So I got the impression that it was all the same.
I just assume it's like a, like in other words, I do like that. There's no transporter room; it's just like a transporter bar, which is fine.
Well, when we get the technical manual that lays out the ship,
Picard's
will
come
we'll
out.
Totally,
Picard's will come out.
Jeez, I don't know, who knows.
Also, I don't know if we're going back to it or did we skip over the action scene in this?
No, we'll talk about that.
Sorry.
So basically, once Picard beams up and meets Captain
Rios.
Beardy.
He goes back down. He just wanted to see the ship and talk to the captain.
Well, you know, you're not going to buy the house without seeing it. You know.
Yeah, for sure. So so then we get the action scene that Philip's talking about, where the Tal Viagers are attacking
the Tal Vashes, I believe is what they're called.
What's funny is we can remember Tal Shiar, which...
Well, there's 25 years of history with Tal Shiar.
Yeah, if we were watching the third episode of TNG, we still wouldn't know. The guy with the white skin. What do you call him? The android. The robot.
Data? Data? Is that his name? No. Anyways, so they get attacked by the guys in motorcycle suits, basically. And I will be totally honest with you. I was really nervous. I thought one of those two Romulans was going
to die. Oh, man. I was so nervous.
I'm like, don't you dare. Especially,
even
when they survived the whole thing.
Zatvash.
And then during the interrogation where the guy killed himself, which we all knew that was going to happen. And then, the acid came out and got on, Jatral or whatever his name was. I was like, no, not him. Take that jacket off.
It's the Zatvash.
Yeah, Zatvash.
Zatvash.
God bless you.
ZV.
So they all kind of do some badass things. Even Picard, even though he's old and frail. Yeah.
Which I'm not surprised because they're ex-Tal Shiar.
Yeah. So there's that many hidden weapons in that room.
Oh, I know, yes.
On the bottom of the table. So
they needed a line. They needed one line from Jean-Luc.
I wanted him to grab a bottle and smash it, and inside is a gun. And they grab it and they're like, shit.
That would have been awesome. Or they pulled it.
It's just hidden there.
They could have pulled down one of the thousands of books that Picard has.
And then he's like, is that the 37s? Yes. And it's got the...
So there's a classic Magnum. Scene. There's a classic scene where you think all the bad guys are killed.
Right.
And then one more shows up. And you're like... And all the main guys freeze, even though they just killed 12 guys each individually. They all freeze. Oh, no. What do we do? And then he, of course, gets shot in the back. I thought it was Raji.
Rafi.
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 But it wasn't Rafi.
Yeah, that's true.
It was...
Agnes.
Agnes, who's like, I'm sure it was stunned. And they're like, the Romulan disruptors don't have a stun setting. She's like,
I was like, where'd that disruptor come from?
I thought that too, and I rewatched the scene. One got shot back out, backwards out.
Out like a window or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So she was walking in, guy comes out of the window. She's like, I'll just pick up this disruptor. I feel like this baby needed it in a moment.
Yeah,
I like it after the chaos all ended, and they're like racking them up on the wall. There's like so much ordnance in that room.
Which, by the way, I like. You don't ever see the cleanup in any of these action movies. They're like, over here, live over here, weapons over here.
Well, and did you also notice that when they were going to wake him up, at first, I think the husband No, he was going to, neck pinch him or something to wake him up or something.
I think he was going to kill him.
He's like, we don't do that. Oh, maybe that, yeah.
And since that, she uses, I think, the wine spritzer, the water.
It's like, you're culturing me to death, woman.
I thought it was like the water spray bottle for number one. Like, get off the couch.
It's like, bad number one. Get off the couch.
Romulan water torture.
I will say, though, in this scene, what we just mentioned, the tension of we don't want these characters to die.
Yeah.
One of my concerns for...
Discovery would have killed one of them.
Yeah. I was really surprised that Picard didn't die. I mean, that could have happened, right?
But honestly, going into Picard, one of my concerns was, are we going to give a crap about these new characters? And every single new character that they've introduced, at least on Earth so far, I'll say, I have a vested interest in. I want both those Romulans to live. I want Agnes to live forever because she's awesome. Even Rafi I like a lot.
Blue shirt.
Whatever. I'm really liking these new characters. I'm excited that they're kind of coming together now.
I even liked the other one.
Dodge. Sorry.
It's like but I mean I didn't want her to die. She was a really interesting character, and then she's...
I think it was one thing. Luckily, they cleaned it up very quickly. They're like, you MF, you kill. Oh, there's another one. Okay, that's fine. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I was about to,
I was about to unsubscribe, and then the button said, "Are you sure? There's a sister." Oh, okay. We're good. but yeah, that action scene was really cool. I mean, especially since we're probably not going to go back to that set. Although, what did they mean by "it's about to get hotter"? Like, are there more Tal Shiar coming in?
Yeah.
Or is Starfleet showing up? And that's obviously a bad thing now.
The plot. Had to be advanced.
Oh, got it.
Rafi
had
signaled to Captain Rios, we gotta warp out of here because it's episode 3, and if we don't get this Picard in space, people are gonna write strongly worded letters.
Yeah, so after that, everybody beams up to the siren. I'm just gonna... La Serena.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, and
we can learn another language on this show.
Yeah, I realized.
Look, we changed the Sao Paulo to the Defiant because we didn't want to learn another word. So
we get basically the origins here of this crew. Of course, yeah. We learn
this fine ship, this fine
this
crew,
this ragtag group of ne'er do wells with gumption in their heart, and
we learn that Bruce Maddox himself is on Fastball. What is it called?
Not
free.
Free money. Free spirit? What is it called? Free
willy. Free space. It's bingo.
Free space. Okay.
God. The episode title is We Don't Do Names.
We don't do names. Names are hard. Where's my naming grid? But we find out that we know where Bruce is now. Because I thought that people had said that the actor had said he's not in it.
Oh, I haven't
seen
that.
Yeah, I try to avoid.
I'm not sure.
I would be shocked. I mean, unless he's dead or something. I guess we'll see. But
I get a feeling we're not going to see Bruce till season two. No, I'm serious. I don't think we're going to see Maddox until two.
That would be kind of a weird thing to withhold, only because he's important to the plot, but nobody's like holding their breath to see Bruce Maddox again. It's not a huge deal.
I don't know. Bruce Maddox is the Spock shuttle, if we don't want to admit it.
You know, you're right.
So,
we got to leave now. Bruce Maddox is going to leave free Terra Nuel.
Because
we got to get over there.
As we saw from the teaser, not to skip ahead, we do have a side quest of adding a new character.
Yes.
Because
The Romulan Legolas.
Yeah, we don't have our.
Our warrior.
We don't have our wharf.
We got our druid, we got
exactly.
our wizard, we got our bard, we got our doctor. We need a tank. Swords.
Yeah.
Need a tank. Which I'm looking forward to that episode. It looks really good. Like something different.
Colony or something.
You know.
Yeah, I don't know. The sword
fencing Picard.
Sword stuff.
Well,
silly.
Well, cuz you got to have Picard fences. Just like we built a whole character trait around Sulu fencing, so you know, just keep it going.
I mean, he's a little kid. Well,
yeah, I mean, like, Picard is the best swordsman aside from Robin Hood.
Nice. Hey, by the way, huge deal that we get our first Q name drop here in this episode.
Because
I think he's responsible for all this.
Well, you mean the continuum,
in
general?
Yep.
Yeah, the Q continuum, yeah.
So that was it. That was the end of the beginning. Why is it called that?
I mean, if I've not read this other than what was being told in our last episode, that this is a 3-episode pilot, for lack of a better word. So this is
maybe a 4-episode pilot. It's still kind of going for me, but
so you know, this is it. This is the end of the beginning, and so now we start the series.
Well, there's also that part where Picard says, "Like I was never really home here."
Yeah,
like he tried to play the part of a winemaker and just stay on Earth, and he just couldn't. I mean, it took 15 years, but the human of a bar is leaving. And maybe that's the end that we're talking about.
Yeah, that
about.
Could be. Oh, the end is
that's
the beginning.
How I kind of
the
felt.
End of his time on Earth.
And that's the beginning of his real adventure.
See.
Let's see what out there. Second Starlight. Whoa, actually, we know where we're
Engage.
Going. So take us to that.
Yeah, I will say, like, I know it's difficult, really difficult to balance new stuff with nostalgia. The Engage thing, I could have done without. He didn't have to say it.
Rafi agreed.
That's
with
what
you.
He says.
No.
Yeah, she kind of rolled her eyes like, oh, dear
he
Lord.
He said it because Captain whatever his
Rios.
Name,
yep.
Rios looked at him like, I know you say this, so maybe you could say
it. You saw how Picard almost sat in the chair.
Yeah, but he didn't.
He was looking
he
at
didn't.
It. He didn't. He didn't.
That was more choky-uppy, more emotionally for me than Engage. Like, Engage, it's not the same thing. When there's only 5 people
it's
on the show.
It's for the trailer, guys. It's literally for the trailer.
But I think one thing, you know, if we had asked, and we probably did, before this all started, how do we feel as Picard not the captain on a ship? You know, I mean, that there has to be, you know.
But he wouldn't be the captain if he was the admiral.
Well,
you know,
but I mean, it's all civilian now, you know, but still,
that's
you know,
true.
For him to be just on the other chair.
He's dependent on others, which he's always done
but,
well.
But I'm not saying I'm in love with Captain Rios. He's not that sexy. But in other words, I'm accepting, you know, that he knows he's not the captain. You know, that he didn't sit there. He sat over there, you know. And so I'm like, you know what, I'm with it, even though, you know.
So now I'm picturing him going, oh man, now I feel like I understand what Worf was going through all these years.
Just,
he got no
stand
seat.
Here? You don't have a...
I'm just going to stand here? What am I supposed to do for the whole flight?
He always had like the side chairs at least, you know.
Which is all we got, this massive bay of nothing.
He just comes back with a folding chair and puts it next to the captain.
The hologram turns into a chair. He's like, whatever you need for, sir. And he turns into a chair.
Emergency chair hologram.
Yeah.
ECH, off, off.
ECH. And then, then he says, okay, ECH, go prepare this. And then the chair disappears because it can only be one thing at a time.
Well, the problem is when you ask for a chair, you're probably going to get a table. Just going to tell you right now.
That's true. Is it wood? This does not make me think of you.
All right. Well, that was... The end is the beginning. Do we know what next week's episode is?
Yes, we do. Next week is not Maps and Legends, which I didn't quite get that title either. But Absolute Candor is the episode for next week. Okay. And that will be... and I'm guessing... do you guys want the next episode as well? Title? So the next episode is called Stardust City Rag. I'm assuming that's going to be the gambling planet. Just putting that out there, but we're...
It's got to be better than the gambling planet that we saw in the Royale. It has to be.
Picard needs a new pair of shoes.
Was that really? I wouldn't even call that a gambling planet. That was a prison entrapment of a...
So let me throw this out. Speaking of...
Oh, can we go to the gambling planet? It's totally run by Ferengi. Please.
That would actually be pretty awesome.
Please.
But let me do a little gambling, or at least betting here. So Rafi just wants to go to Free Space, the low gambling planet. That's totally what it's called. And that's it. She's out after that.
But I think there's something there, that more information of what she wants.
Do we think Rafi will be there the whole series?
Yes.
Season?
Yes.
I think
yes.
I don't buy it for a second.
The fact that she says she's not tells me that she is. Yeah.
I don't buy that. Oh.
Yeah, this fine. I think they're just about done assembling the whole crew.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. One last thought, and if there's anything you guys want to chime in, of course you can. But there is one aspect. I know we all love Picard, the moon and back. But there's one aspect where Captain Archer is a much better captain than Captain Picard. And that is Captain Archer brought Porthos with him onto his ship. Picard just abandoned.
Well,
you say that,
one.
Daniel. Wouldn't it have been more responsible not to bring in the dog that's going
to think of all the things
the
that happened to Porthos?
Contact?
Just saying, he could have been the emergency doc. Emergency dog walking hologram.
Captain Janeway left her dog at home.
Yeah, and she regretted it. And she broke up with her boyfriend because of it.
She didn't break up.
Fiance.
You're writing a strange, rewriting a history here, Daniel.
Well, I think probably the number one thing is just the fact that the dog is not like an actor dog. Like it was a rescue, and it's just the control that they needed. But But that's a good point. I mean, you're not wrong, but...
No. I'm not really upset about it either. I mean, they'd be great if there was a dog there, but...
No.
So the last party's just about to engage, and then you hear the transporter in the background, and, like, number one pops up. It's like, oh, I almost forgot you, number one.
He should have come in with his fishbowl. Where do I put this? Where do I...
Oh, God.
All right. So, we will catch you... that was the end is the beginning.
You know, that makes me think, why is Picard not have an aquarium in his house? You think he would?
Maybe we read too deep into it. Maybe that was just like came with the ship.
It was already there. It's just you know, standard module B options package
itself,
on the ready room.
You know, yes. You don't do anything. You ever saw?
It's actually holographic. It's not even real. It's
7 years plus the movie, but 7 years. I don't even think, was he in the movie? Anyway, in 7 years, did you ever see Picard talk to the fish, look at the fish, do anything with the fish? Riker tried
well,
to
I mean,
eat it.
The biggest thing that happens to the fish, I mean, the biggest thing that happened was when Jellicoe took it out.
Where did he go, anyways?
It just disappeared, and then it came back.
Think he was just
Cetacean.
Oh, hey! I looked up Livingston real quick just for fun. And one of the stills is Hugh Examines Livingston.
Oh. Yeah,
there you go.
Like the that's right, that's yeah. right.
Though the tank was broken, I think, in Generation, wasn't it? At the end. When he was in the Red Area.
R.I.P. Livingston.
So you think that big grant was for Kirk? But that comm badge was...
No. We all know Picard had an emergency directive. As soon as that cracked, immediately sight-to-sight transports the fish out of the tank into Cetacean Ops. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. He's got plans.
We've gone way over time. That's enough for this episode. Darren, if people wanted to get a hold of you and ask you, what is the best way to transport a fish? How would they...
First you need a lot of self-stealing sembolts, obviously, but they can find me on Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, or my website, username Dr. Sci-Fi, D-R-S-C-I-F-I.
And Philip, if people want to transport from Earth to the secret Romulan Borg cube neutral zone?
Transwarp beaming? What are you talking about, Daniel?
They would find me at my designation on Twitter, because I am not nameless. It is NC Public Servant.
And if people wanted to find me as well, they could find me on Twitter. That's 1UpDan, the number one, not the word, as in I would never leave you behind, number one, but just saying. All right, that's it for this week on SETI Alpha 3. I'm Daniel Brew.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
Stranded here on SETI Alpha 3.